Please turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, and we want to read verses 13 through 16. James chapter 4, beginning at verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Occasionally, in our great state, we experience hurricanes. That's one of the joys of living in the Sunshine State. Well, we've just experienced another one. And in my judgment, events such as this provide opportunities for us to study certain Bible subjects. Not that we have to study those subjects in difficult situations such as we've just experienced, but those situations do provide opportunities for us to be reminded of certain great Bible principles. Well, this morning we concentrated on the occasion when Jesus was sailing across the Sea of Galilee with his disciples, and they experienced a great storm. The disciples were concerned whether Jesus really cared for them. Carest thou not that we perish? In other words, Lord, do you care that we're about to die out here? Of course, Jesus did care, and he cares for us today. We need to be reminded of that great principle, I believe, on a regular basis. Well, a Hurricane Ian provides an opportunity for us to study these passages written by James, because these verses contain some important instructions that relate to 2 days they're mentioned. One is today, the other is tomorrow. As we examine the Bible as a whole, we see that God, in his word, has given instructions that relate to both of these days. Now, in our lesson, we want to first examine some negative instructions that have to do with tomorrow. In other words, there are certain things concerning tomorrow that are to be avoided. But then we want to turn our attention to some positive instructions that relate to today. Well, in my teaching, I prefer to deal with the negative matters first and then deal with the positive. So that's the process I want to follow. Let's consider some negative instructions that relate to tomorrow. In other words, there are certain things concerning tomorrow that are to be avoided. Well, for one thing, we must not boast about what we're going to do tomorrow. Now, in my judgment, there's a difference between making plans for tomorrow and boasting about what we're going to do tomorrow. Jesus knew what was going to happen to him ahead of time. He was making plans to go to Jerusalem, and he knew very well what was going to happen to him. Making plans for tomorrow is not necessarily wrong in and of itself. James is talking about boasting what we're going to do tomorrow. Well, James is not the only Bible writer to deal with this matter. Let's consider what Solomon wrote long ago in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1. Solomon said, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Now that's basically teaching the very same thing that James taught us. We're not to boast about what we're going to do tomorrow. So not only does Solomon tell us to avoid that practice, but he goes on in the same verse to explain why we must avoid that practice. He said, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We just don't have that knowledge. Consequently, We must not boast about what we're going to do tomorrow. Well, during his ministry, Jesus presented a parable as found in Luke chapter 12 that illustrates this same principle. Let's turn to Luke chapter 12 and read the Lord's parable. I always like to point out the situation that led Jesus to tell this parable. Earlier in this chapter, Jesus was teaching. We'll not take the time to study what the Lord was teaching, but suffice it to say, he was dealing with some very important matters. It appears from verse 13 that someone interrupted the Lord and said, "Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me." Now, for one thing, that showed a lack of respect for the Lord. He was teaching and dealing with some very important spiritual principles, and this man interrupts him and wants him to settle a dispute between him and his brother. Apparently, the father had passed away, left his inheritance to his children. One brother took advantage of the other, and this one brother wanted the Lord to settle that issue. Jesus, in verse 14, said, "Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you?" Well, Jesus didn't come to get involved in those situations, but that presented the Lord with an opportunity to teach the people in his audience a very important lesson. So he said, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." He went on to present the parable of the rich fool. Now, as we studied, now remember the Lord was talking about covetousness. But as we examine the man in the parable, I think you will see someone who was boasting about what he was going to do tomorrow, and he paid a high price for his mistake. "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully." That's verse 16. "And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits?' And he said, 'This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' And God said unto him, 'Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" Now, in this parable, Jesus talked about a man who boasted about what he was going to do in the future. However, he never made it to the next day. I've always found that to be very interesting. He was boasting about what he was going to do. He never made it to the next day. Now, by boasting about what he would do tomorrow, he overlooked what he could have done today. Imagine that man's regret throughout eternity. Well, by taking advantage of today, as the Bible teaches, he could have been rejoicing. You see, he could have given attention to obeying the first and second commandments. The first commandment is to love God with all the heart, soul, and mind. The second is to love your neighbor as yourself. If this man had practiced those two commandments today, he would have not been so concerned about tomorrow. Well, he should have loved God and his fellow man on a daily basis, rather than boast about what he was going to do tomorrow. I've always thought it was interesting that you'll never find this man in the parable mentioning God. You won't find him mentioning his fellow man. Well, God had blessed him abundantly, and he had the responsibility to help his fellow man. He wasn't concerned about that. He was only concerned about boasting what he was going to do tomorrow. Well, that's a very sobering thought. When it comes to instructions that relate to tomorrow, the Bible teaches and illustrates the fact that we're not to boast about what we're going to do tomorrow. Let's consider another word of instruction. Now, this is what James dealt with in the verses that we read earlier in James chapter 4. James teaches us that we must not make plans without God, and that's something that must be avoided. James dealt with a situation in which people decide what they're going to do, where they're going to do it, when they will do it, and how everything's going to turn out. But throughout all of that, God is completely left out of the picture. You see, we simply do not know what will happen tomorrow. We don't know that. The right approach is to depend upon God, giving careful attention to His will. James says what you should say is, if the Lord will. I think I've mentioned this before, but whenever I think about what James wrote concerning the Lord will, we had a very dear friend up in West Tennessee who was quite fond of saying, well, if it's the good Lord willing. Whenever anything came up, that was his response. If the good Lord's willing. Well, I try to remember that. James said, don't make plans for the future without God. He says, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. That's the same principle that Solomon taught. Rather, we need to be concerned about the Lord's will today. And when we consider instructions that have to do with tomorrow, Jesus dealt with a very important matter in Matthew 6 and verse 34. Jesus was preaching his great Sermon on the Mount, and he taught us not to be anxious about tomorrow. Let's read what the Lord said. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now, in the context, Jesus was dealing with being filled with anxiety over the necessities of life. Now, he specifically mentioned food, drink, and clothing. We call those things the necessities of life. And as Jesus was teaching, he presented a number of reasons why we're to avoid being anxious over these things. But in verse 34, he presented a reason that we're especially concerned about in our lesson. Jesus said in this verse that we just read a moment ago that we have enough to be concerned about today without worrying about tomorrow. I've always thought that was very interesting. The Lord said, you've got enough to be concerned with today without being filled with anxiety over tomorrow. Now, remember the illustrations that Jesus used on this occasion. He talked about the birds of the air. He talked about the lilies of the field, how God takes care of them. Have you ever seen a bird worry about what he's going to do tomorrow? He goes to roost at night, he wakes up with the sun, and he sings. Does it sound like he's filled with anxiety over tomorrow? What about the lilies of the field? They don't toil, they don't sow, they don't spin. They certainly are beautiful. Have you ever seen a lily wither away because it was worried about what was going to happen tomorrow? No, and I don't think you will. Now, we know that plants come to an end. Jesus even said they're here today and gone tomorrow. So plants have a relatively short lifespan. But I've never seen a lily just wither away because it was worried about what was going to happen tomorrow. Well, our Lord was a great illustrator. If someone couldn't understand his lessons, it certainly wasn't his fault. But Jesus said, we have enough to be concerned about today without being filled with anxiety concerning things that relate to tomorrow. What is the alternative? Let's read verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, when Jesus talked about these things being added unto you, he was referring to the necessities of life. If we'll have our priorities in the right order, as we dealt with not long ago, our Lord will see to it that we're blessed with the necessities of life and we don't have to worry about them. The older I get, the more I'm concerned about removing things that can be a source of care. I hope maybe I'm finally gaining a little bit of wisdom in that area. If I can eliminate something that's going to free my mind of care, why not take care of it? Just eliminate it. Well, Jesus said, the way to avoid being filled with anxiety over the necessity of life is to seek God's kingdom and his righteousness first. Well, if we devote ourselves to fulfilling those responsibilities, we don't have to be filled with care over what we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, or what we're going to wear. Why not be free of those cares? Well, the way to be free of them is to seek God's kingdom and his righteousness first. Well, these are some negative instructions that have to do with tomorrow. We must not boast about what we're going to do tomorrow. We must not make plans without God's will being considered. And we must not be filled with anxiety about tomorrow. Well, let's turn our attention to some positive instructions that have to do with today. For one thing, and I think this is a good place to begin, God wants us to depend upon him for the blessings that we need today. It's a simple statement. But when Jesus gave his model prayer in Matthew chapter 6, while he was presenting that great Sermon on the Mount, he taught his followers to pray, give us this day our daily bread. I believe that goes back to when God supplied his people with manna. They were traveling from Egypt up toward the promised land, and they were hungry. So God provided for his people. He saw to it that manna was supplied, and the Israelites were given detailed instructions about the gathering of that manna. By the way, it was not supplied on the Sabbath day. That was a day of rest. So the Israelites gathered a double portion the day before. It later became known as the day of preparation. We call it Friday. And the Israelites had plenty to eat. They had to go out every day, though, and gather that manna. And in my judgment, it's tragic that the Israelites got to a point where they were complaining about that. They said, our soul loatheth this light bread. God blessed his people with bread from heaven, and that wasn't good enough. Jesus taught his followers to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Do you find any reference to tomorrow in that? No, I hear daily. Do you find someone else besides God being mentioned? No. Jesus was teaching us to trust in God on a daily basis for the blessings that we need. Now, we need to do that because every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from God. James tells us that in James 1 and verse 17. James 1 and verse 17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." Well, rather than boast about what we're going to do tomorrow, we need to depend upon God for the blessings that we need today. Now, that's the proper approach. If we approach God for the things that we need today, tomorrow will take care of itself. We won't have to worry about it. So, when we think about positive instructions that relate to today, we see from the Bible that God wants His people to depend upon Him for the blessings that we need today. Let's consider something else. This is dealt with in Psalm 95 in verse 7. Psalm 95 and verse 7. It's a very beautiful psalm. It teaches a number of very important lessons. But the latter part of this verse says, "Today, if you will hear His voice." Now, that's a very important word of instruction concerning responsibilities for today. Today is the time to hear God's voice. And I never cease to be amazed at how many times that passage is repeated in the book of Hebrews. It's found in Hebrews 3, verses 7 and 8, also verse 15, and then chapter 4 and verse 7. So the writer of Hebrews places special emphasis on the fact that we're to hear God's voice today. Now, let's read why in Psalm 95, because this is also carried over into the book of Hebrews. "Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness." Hearing God's voice today will prevent hardening of the heart. Well, that's very important. Rather than make plans for tomorrow with God, without God, He wants us to hear His voice today. Now, how do we hear God's voice? Well, He speaks to us through His Word. We need to be careful students of Scripture. And as we study the Bible, we need to realize that God is speaking to us. He's revealing His will to us. Just the other day, I finished reading the Old Testament again. And on my reading schedule that I've been following for years, when the 1st of October rolls around, it's time to begin reading the New Testament because we've just completed the Old Testament. But the old prophet Malachi concluded his great book of prophecy in the Old Testament by calling upon his people to look forward to the coming of Elijah. That was a prophecy concerning the coming of John the Baptist. When Elijah showed up, you knew that the Lord was about to make His appearance. Never cease to be amazed at how the Old Testament concluded on such a positive note. The old prophet called upon his people to look forward to the coming of Elijah. Now, that's not the first time that he mentioned Elijah. He talked about the Lord's messenger in chapter 3. But at the very end, he talked about the coming of Elijah. Well, John came when the time was right. He fulfilled his work very well. God wants us to hear His voice today. You see, there's so much encouragement we can receive from the Old Testament scriptures as well as the New. Well, let's consider something else that actually is touched on in the Old Testament. Let's look at Psalm 118 and read verse 24. I know this statement's very familiar to you. Psalm 118 and verse 24. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. God wants us to rejoice when? Tomorrow? No. Today. The psalmist said, this is the day that the Lord has made. He hasn't made tomorrow yet. We'll let God take care of that. He has made today, and he's given it unto us. We ought to rejoice and be glad in it. Each day is a blessing from God, and we have many reasons to rejoice. And rather than worry about tomorrow, God wants us to rejoice today. You know, tomorrow is not the time for rejoicing. Today is. And if we rejoice today, tomorrow will take care of itself. Well, these are some positive instructions that have to do with today. God wants us to depend upon him for the blessings that we need today. God wants us to hear his voice today. And God wants us to rejoice today. Now, does that mean that we'll never shed any tears? We'll never have any bad experiences? Certainly not. We touched on that in our lesson this morning. As long as we live this life, we're going to have to deal with some unpleasant circumstances. However, the joy under consideration that the Bible has so much to say about is something on the inside. It's an inner peace of mind that a child of God is able to experience because he has a right relationship with God. It's not going to depend upon how well everything's going. It's not going to depend about how much money is in the bank. It's not going to depend upon how high the stack of bills is. The joy that the Bible teaches us to have is an inner peace of mind that a child of God has because of his right relationship with God. You see? That type of joy can be experienced even when everything falls apart. So God wants us to rejoice today. We certainly have plenty of reasons to rejoice. I tell you, yesterday morning between 6:30 and 7, I was rejoicing. Why? Because our electricity came back on. Well, it was only off for 2 days, and we were fortunate to have a generator. But, you know, a generator's kind of noisy after a while. And you have to put gas in it and so forth. Well, it beats not having lights, I can grant you that. But I was rejoicing when the lights came on again. For some reason, our neighbors didn't. Well, this morning, their lights were on. I don't know what happened. But I expected to hear my neighbors rejoicing. But my hearing's not too good anymore, so maybe they did, and I just didn't hear it. Well, I know that's being sort of foolish, but you can always find a reason to rejoice if you want to. The Bible teaches us to rejoice today. Well, there's one other matter that we need to mention briefly, and that's salvation. Tomorrow is not the time for salvation. The Apostle Paul stood before Governor Felix, and he reasoned with him of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. It had an effect on Felix. He trembled. Now, I tell you, when a man has heard the preaching of the Word of God and he trembles, I've known over the years what that means. It's affecting him. He's thinking But then Felix said, go your way. When I have a convenient season tomorrow, I'll call for you. What a tragedy. Felix shows us that tomorrow is not the time for salvation. Rather, we need to be concerned about what's written in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. The Apostle Paul wrote, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Tomorrow is not the time for salvation. Today is. If you need to respond to the invitation, we'd invite you to do so as we stand and sing the first verse of the song that's been selected.